pendant a small cross of gold thread in place of a tassel. The whole contraption was brand new and had a bright shining peak. "Stand up," said the form master. He rose. His cap fell to the ground. The class began to laugh. He bent down to pick it up. The boy next him knocked it out of his hand with a jerk of the elbow. He picked it up again. "I should be obliged if you would get rid of your helmet," said the form master, who had a pretty wit. There was a roar of laughter which put the poor little chap quite out of countenance. So confused was he that he didn't know whether to keep the cap in his hand, to leave it lying on the ground, or to put it on his head. He resumed his seat and laid it on his lap. "Stand up," said the form master again, "and tell me your name." The new boy stammered out something wholly unintelligible. "Again." Once more we heard the sound of garbled syllables drowned by the shout of the class. "Louder," said the master, "louder." The little fellow, as though making a desperate resolve, opened his enormous mouth, and with the full force of his lungs, as though he were calling to someone at a distance, enunciated the single word, "Shabovari." At that, pandemonium broke loose, rising to a confused crescendo of shrill voices, shrieks, yells, stamping of feet, and "Shabovari, Shabovari," repeated again and again, which gradually dispersed in single vocables. Finally, and with great difficulty, it was got under control, only to be taken up again by the occupants of another bench, as some burst of stifled laughter exploded on a sudden like a badly extinguished squib. To the accompaniment of a rain of impositions, order was eventually restored. And the form master, having at last succeeded in getting hold of the name, Charles Bovary, by dint of having it dictated, spelled out, and read over to him, immediately told the poor wretch to take his place on the dunce's bench, which stood immediately below his own rostrum. The boy started to move, but hesitated before actually leaving his place. "What are you looking for?" asked the form master. "My ca—" replied the new boy timidly, with an anxious glance about him. 500 lines, the whole lot of you!" The words, uttered in a furious voice, quelled the rising storm like quos ego. "I will have quiet," went on the outraged pedagogue, adding, as he mopped his forehead with a handkerchief which he took from under his cap, "As for the new boy, he'll copy out for me the verb ridiculous sum 20 times. Then, in a kinder voice, "Better go and retrieve that hat of yours. No one's stolen it." Calm settled down once more. Heads were bent over exercise books, and for the next 2 hours the new boy behaved in exemplary fashion, though from time to time a pellet of paper, propelled by a pen holder, hit his face with a moist thud. He merely wiped away the mess with his hand, not moving at all, and keeping his eyes on the ground. In prep that evening, he took a pair of protective cuffs from his desk, put his few odds and ends in order, and carefully ruled his paper. We noticed how conscientiously he did his work, what pains he was at to look up every word in the dictionary. Thanks, no doubt, to this evidence of good intentions, he managed not to be sent down to the class below. For though he had a fairish acquaintance with the rules of grammar, his phrasing lacked elegance. He'd been grounded in Latin by his local curé, because his parents, from reasons of economy, had delayed sending him to school as long as possible. His father, Monsieur Charles Denis Bartholomew Bovary, formerly an assistant surgeon major in the army, had become involved about 1812 in some scandal connected with the conscription laws and been compelled to leave the service. As a result of this, he had exploited his personal appearance.